The first reading from Isaiah was a prophecy about the deliverance of Israel, to point out the signs that would indicate the Messiah when he came. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the hands that are feeble, make firm the knees that are weak. Say to those whose hearts are frightened, be strong, fear not, here is your God. He comes with vindication, with divine recompense, he comes to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, the ears of the deaf be cleared. Then will the lame leap like a stag, then the tongue of the dumb will sing. And so we hear today then that our Lord comes to pagan territory, and he is presented with a man who is deaf and has a speech impediment. And we're told that he first takes and puts his finger in the man's ear, and then spitting touches his tongue, and the man's ears are open, and he begins to speak clearly. In the next chapter, we will see and hear that our Lord heals in the same way a man who is blind with spittle. He touches a man's eyes, and by 2 degrees, the man is able to see. These are not only signs of the Messiah to point out to the Israelites and anybody else who has eyes to hear and eyes to see and ears to hear, that this is the Messiah. This is the long-awaited one, Messiah, the Redeemer, come. And it points out also his work of salvation. For with spittle, he touches the man's tongue. He puts his finger in the man's ears. The Word of God opens the man's ear. It's through the Word of God that we come to faith. And if faith then is to our spirit, our souls, what our eyes are to our body. It's only through faith that we can come to know Christ. And then knowing him, we are to place our faith and confidence and trust in him, and we are to follow him. His word of truth and life and given to us in his total revelation. And that revelation is to reveal to us the way that leads to true life. So that way is still open to us today, and it's very specific, and it's very limited. There are three principles of the Word of God entrusted to the church to guide us today. And those three things are the sacred scriptures, which derive from the Word of God, the total Word of God, which is the revelation he entrusted to his apostles as a deposit of faith that we know as the apostolic tradition. And so the third is the magisterium, the official teaching office of the church, the exclusively authorized interpreter of this word of God, whether handed on or in scripture. And the interpretation of sacred scripture then must follow that order. We interpret the sacred scriptures not as we want it to be, but in light of that tradition from which it derives, as witnessed by the lived faith of the church for 2,000 years. The lived faith of the church is that by which we come to recognize how the primitive churches, the early churches, what they believed to be the truth, how they worshiped God, how they prayed, how they lived their life. And then, as witnessed by the lived faith of the church and confirmed by the living teaching office, the magisterium of the church. So those are the three things that still got us still. Now, once the man's ears were opened to receive the word of God, he is brought to faith, and then our Lord opened his tongue. Well, in the Bible, in the sacred scriptures, when the Bible says something about speech, it implies, first of all, knowledge, because our words should reflect what we believe to be true. And then by extension, it also incorporates and includes doing it. If we believe something and we speak it, then we should do it. If we are people of integrity, truth, and love. So This is really a revelation of the work of Christ, the work of revelation and salvation. And now in the next chapter of Mark, we will hear, like I said, of a man who was born blind, who was brought to our Lord for healing. Again, with spittle from his mouth, the word of God, he anoints the man's eyes. And first of all, he begins to see a little bit more clearly. But he says he sees people look like sticks walking around. So he anoints his eyes again. And then he sees clearly. This is more a symbol for the healing that our Lord came to bring to the Jewish people. For to see is to believe. It is to recognize. And for the Gentile people, our ancestors, from whom we are descended, it was sufficient for them to hear the word of God and then to come to faith and begin to follow him. The Jewish people did not in the beginning. So our Lord's miracle of the healing of the man born blind, or the blind man, again fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah, pointing out, then will the eyes of the blind be open, the ears of the deaf be cleared. Then will the lame leap like a stag. Then the tongue of the dumb will sing. So we hear in another place how our Lord cured those who were blind, deaf, dumb, crippled, lepers, raising from the dead. These are all signs of the Lord's work and physical miracles, which point beyond merely the physical to the spiritual healing that our Lord came to bring us and to give us and to call us to life in him. So those three things are still at work in our world today through the church. And we have then the word of God to reach our ears, to call us to faith, to call us to trust in him, to accept his word of truth and life in its totality. Our faith makes great demands upon us, as you all know. Great demands upon us. And some might be tempted to say, well, you know, I can accept this, but this is too hard, you know, and I really don't want to accept that, but, you know, I can kind of do enough and it'll be okay. No, it's not. It's the whole enchilada or it's nothing. Our faith is not founded upon culture. It's not founded upon current political correctness. It's not founded upon a single country. It's not founded upon a single language. It's a universal. It's what we call the Church Catholic. Catholic, it means universal in all things. If you believe, then you must do. If you see, you must follow. Now, we all struggle. We have our troubles. We fail. We fall, even if only in little things. And this is a blessing for us. If we did not have something in our lives against which to struggle, and we all do, what would happen? We'd reach a point where we thought, well, I've done enough. I've proven my love for God, and now I can rest. And as soon as that happens, we're lost. Then we would become like the Pharisees and the scribes, who felt that they were just in the eyes of God, and God owed them his favor. No. Neither did he didn't know it to them. He doesn't know it to us. His favor is this. His predestination is this. His word of truth and life. If he did not tell us the truth, we could never find it. If he did not give us grace, which is a participation in his own divine life, we could not do it. Otherwise, the old dispensation, the Old Testament, the old order of living, the natural order, would have been sufficient for anybody to make their way to God. And that's the heresy of the Pelagians. Absolute heresy. If that's true, then you know, if we could do it without Christ, then why would he have to come and suffer and die? He came and suffered and died because it's the only way that he could work it out in his own person. In his own individual person, our Lord completed the work of redemption. He restored and healed the wound of separation that occurred because of the sins of Adam and Eve. That original sin by which they betrayed the covenant of God and they lost all the benefits of being in communion with God, they affected alienation from God. And we inherit that through original sin. Born without any personal sin, nonetheless, we inherit that alienation from God that comes because of the fault of our first parents. And that is healed by baptism, an absolute gracious gift of God that we cannot earn, is simply given to us, by which we are first joined, grafted on to the vine which is Christ. The channels of grace are open to us, and we have the wherewithal by the predestination of God to know and to do the work of life, truth, and love in our own lives. So it's up to us to do it. Our Lord has revealed himself to us. He has revealed in his own person that work. He established the church to be the means by which by means which he would communicate to us that truth, life, that he is to us who have faith, calling us to see, to recognize, and to follow, and to live in him, for him.